Hey, dear listener, do you enjoy listening to us ramble incoherently about Canadian politics and history? Boy, do we have a special fucking treat for you. We've got our first ever official live show at a bar.
It's at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street in Halifax on Sunday, May the 26th at 8 p.m. And if you go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, if you look at the banner at the top, it will take you to the tickets so that you can book a ticket and come and spend some quality time. It is going to be a very intimate affair. There are like only about 50 tickets available.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to drink a lot. We're going to quiz. Reese is going to quiz me at the end, but he's also going to quiz the audience and see if they know more than I do. And any alcohol you buy, Reese and I, we promise to drink it, no matter how much it is. If you want to hold our hair while we barf in the plants outside of the bar, we'll do that for you.
So go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, click the banner at the top, and on Sunday, May the 26th at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street, we will see you there.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us. MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Reese, I see you're all lubed up, as is per usual for mm-hmm. this time of day.
Mm-hmm.
You got a gag right in your mouth here. Let me get that for you.
It's not a good way to open an episode.
Yeah, there you go. Let me get your
friends and family listen to this, you perv.
Isn't this a public episode?
Yes.
Yeah. It's like, I didn't
tie
you
just
up.
Ask me what's going on.
I didn't tie you up and lube you up. This is just how I found you. I was just gonna, like, come on now. This is,
like, I owe you my life.
So now that I've ungagged you and untied you and handed you a towel from the buckets of lube that seem to be covering your entire naked body, instead of cleaning you up and taking you someplace safe and giving you a meal, I'm immediately going to ask you what you're going to teach me for today's episode.
Imagine a giant nuclear reactor
Okay. Flying
around the planet, very poorly made, and then suddenly crash landed into Canada.
Jesus.
That's what we're going to discuss.
All right, bring it.
Super bland, cold and much too polite. A place that's excitement, kryptonite. You may fall asleep with no warning, because Canada is boring, boring.
Cause Canada is boring. Canada is boring.
So boring.
Canada is so fucking boring.
Boring.
A real cool podcast with Reese and Jesse.
Hello and welcome to Canada is Boring.
Canada is boring.
The show that stop rustling things.
I'm doing some ASMR.
Is this okay?
I'm opening up a little.
You're the person who keeps getting food on the microphones. No one's allowed to eat in this studio because of the mice. But you consist, oh. You're the only person who brings food in and you make a mess and you get crumbs all over the microphone.
I didn't know that.
Anyway, STD zone.
Nobody told me.
Small talk dimension. I have got to go to Costco. Right in my car, parked out there right now, I have a garbage bag full of raw chicken. Because I went there, I bought one of their big trays of chicken. What we do is we buy the big tray of chicken and we separate the breast.
Hold on.
The breast.
Just wait. I just want to sit and marinate in the idea
they have a garbage bag full of raw chicken in your trunk of your car.
It's not. It's in the footwell of the driver's on the passenger side.
Right. And I don't know why. And I just want to kind of sit with that for a second. How big is this garbage bag full of raw chicken in your driver's seat?
I don't know. What it is. Okay, it was like $35 worth of raw chicken.
Okay, tell me.
Imagine if I died in a car crash and there'd be like some conspiracy. It's like, why was he carrying raw chicken? Where was he going with it? Who gave it to him? I bought it, and me and my wife are going to separate it up to freeze it so we can make multiple meals out of this ridiculous amount of chicken. And it smelled like rotten eggs, which means the chicken's gone bad. So
right.
I've got to know. So I was just like, well, what do I do with all this? I've just threw in a. I've just got to
go. So you bought $35 worth of bad raw chicken from Costco.
Yeah, and I'm taking it back.
In a garbage bag.
In a garbage bag.
Do you have the receipt?
No, but I'm a member, so they should have a record. If not, I'm just going to start throwing it around the parking lot.
No, like install, just walk around Costco and just put it in vents. Hide it underneath shelves and carpets.
Put it in the pockets in the clothes, in the clothing section.
Just yes.
A pair of Levi jeans, put it in the back pocket. So anyway.
I want to talk about this more. Reese's raw chicken adventures.
Have you had any incident with raw meat recently?
Well, Morocco. Okay. I had some poorly cooked chicken that I felt a little queasy from, but it turned out to be okay. And I had a number of friends also get food poisoning in Morocco because street food ain't... that chicken's been sitting there all day, right? Just let's face it.
I just remember as a kid, I still love pistachio nuts. Hmm. And I used to eat the pistachio nuts, and then I used to suck the shells because they were covered in the salty deliciousness.
Can you say that again, but a little bit more sultry?
No. But I remember I at one point...
What did you do? I didn't hear.
I stopped and I never did it again because my dad was like...
Stopped what?
Sucking on the shells of the pistachio
nut. What did you do?
Sorry? So my dad said to me, he said, what about if someone in the factory where they package these up had a poo, didn't wash his hands, and then touched those nuts? So I never sucked the shells again.
That's too bad.
I don't know if what kind of parenting that is, but it worked.
Stop putting that in your mouth. Picture this poo on it.
Nobody wants to suck a shell covered in fecal matter. That's just a fact. So anyway, should we talk about nuclear reactors in space?
Yep. What?
So this story begins. You might not have, I don't know if you've heard this story before.
I have not.
January the 28th, 1978, amateur explorer John Maudhurst was overnighting in a winter cabin near Warden's Grove.
Where's that?
In the Northwest Territories. He and five other young men were on a journey of personal growth to retrace the footsteps of Englishman Jack Hornby, an Arctic adventurer who died in the area in 1927. On a short trip away from the cabin, Maudhurst and one of his friends noticed what looked like a piece of aircraft lying in a crater in the snow. They examined the piece of metal and joked it probably being a Russian satellite that had fallen from the sky. Upon their return to base camp, they were startled to learn of recent radio reports by the Canadian military that they were searching for a satellite that had crashed in the area only a few days before.
Wow.
The explorers reported their finding by radio to Yellowknife, roughly 500.
How big was this thing?
It was just a piece of metal.
Just a single piece. It wasn't an entire satellite.
No, just a piece of metal they found.
Okay.
Within 24 hours, military aircraft had arrived at the group's campsite to take charge. Teams wearing protective gear and wielding radiation-detecting equipment were quickly shown to the crater. They gave Maudhurst and his friends little information, and they were evacuated to Edmonton for decontamination and radiation testing. The two in...
Wow.
They'd kind of joked about it, but what they'd found was remnants of the nuclear-powered satellite known as Cosmos 954.
Wow.
Which had burned up in a rapid re-entry above Canada 4 days earlier, spewing radioactive debris across hundreds of square miles of the Canadian North.
Oh my God, and this is totally fine? This is sanctioned by the government? Like, whose satellite was this?
It was the USSR, it was Russia.
Okay.
So...
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Is what the satellite looked like. Do you want to describe it?
This is like a very 1950s style drawing.
It looks like it's got two brooms stuck to it.
It does look like it has two brooms stuck. It literally looks like it has two brooms stuck, just the handles jammed into the top.
It looks like my kids do projects where they've got to make a thing out of garbage.
And like
it looks
toothpicks.
Hey kids, we're going to make a Soviet satellite with whatever you can find lying around.
Honestly, it looks like a toilet paper roll. The thing that you put toilet paper rolls on, the two ends with the spring in the middle, with toothpicks sticking all over the place. That's what it looks like. With two small brooms.
Yeah. So this satellite was nuclear powered. So it had a nuclear reactor, but it wasn't manned, obviously. It was just.
Right.
And it was built in 1977. And the idea was if there was a malfunction, it would eject its own nuclear reactor safely into space to make it somebody else's problem somewhere else at some point in the future.
And did that happen? That clearly did not happen.
Didn't happen. It failed. No. So it was part of the Soviet Union's ROSAT program, which is a series of reconnaissance satellites which observed ocean traffic, included surface vessels and nuclear submarines using radar. So it was like it needed the nuclear reactor to have very powerful radar because they were looking for out the kind of nuclear subs of NATO countries.
Are there any nuclear satellites today? Do you know?
I don't know. I'm not sure. Hmm. But it orbited the Earth every 89.5 minutes, and it had 50 kilograms of highly enriched uranium on board. It's a lot of uranium.
It sounds like a lot.
More than you get in your breakfast cereal. So what happened was, mid-December, the Americans had spotted the satellite making erratic maneuvers and changing the altitude of his orbit by 50 miles. And the Soviet operators struggled to control this spacecraft. And in secret meetings, they warned the Americans they'd lost control of the vehicle and that the system intended to propel the reactor core into space had failed. And this had happened a few times. In 1973, another one failed and dropped its reactor into the Pacific Ocean north of Japan. And another happened again in 1983 afterwards in the South Atlantic. So these satellites were just dropping, either not ejecting the reactor or just dropping them off in the ocean.
Jesus.
So,
all right.
So at 11:53 on January the 24th.
Were the guys okay?
They were fine, luckily.
Yeah, okay.
But they were fucking around with the radioactive stuff. It's not their fault. You would expect there to be that.
Right.
So the USSR claimed that the satellite had been completely destroyed during reentry, and there was nothing to worry about. However, the residents of the Northwest Territories and the western part of what is today Nunavut, northern Alberta and northern Saskatchewan all disagreed because they saw it coming down in the sky.
Right.
And then shit was everywhere. Radioactive shit everywhere.
Wow. So luckily nobody was hurt. Is there more to the story, Reese?
So later searches showed debris from the satellite had been deposited on Canadian territory on a 600-kilometer long path.
Jesus.
So there's a lot of crap falling out of the sky.
Holy shit.
So a joint Canadian-American team spent most of the year searching 124,000 square kilometers it was called Operation Morning Light. And the idea was they were just going to go and try and find as much of it as possible, pick it up, take it home, wash it in the bath, don't bathe in the water.
Right. Put it in a garbage bag and take it back to Costco.
Yeah. But the problem is that imagine you've lost something in a large area.
Yeah.
And not only is that area large, it's also very fucking cold.
Okay. I just leave it. Yeah.
So I'll buy a new one.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
I can get a reactor core anyway these days. So
this sounds like a political
episode. It's not a political episode. It's about
Russia and Canada getting in arms with each other.
They're not getting in arms with each other.
So Canada didn't give a shit.
Well, I don't know what Canada was going to do about it. What's Canada going to do?
I don't know.
So like one of the world's superpowers.
I'm a video editor, man. I don't know what the reaction would be.
It's not
my forte.
So because it was so cold, a lot of the sensitive equipment they were using just broke in the cold.
This is to find the material, the radioactive material.
Yeah. And at one point,
let's backtrack. Who was sent by whom to find this stuff?
Canadian and American military kind of experts.
Americans.
Americans came up to find it. Yeah.
Were they like just to help or like
hired? They wanted to find bits of this satellite because it'd be interesting to them.
Was this during the Cold War?
Yeah.
It was during the Cold War. So yeah. It'd be, okay, I see. Canada's like, get this fucking shit out of our country. And America's like, we'll help.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
And also, when the temperature dipped below minus 40, the helicopters wouldn't restart and they got stranded for a bit.
Shitty helicopters. It's only minus 40. Fucking hell.
So after a year of searching, they managed to recover 12 large pieces of satellite.
Wow.
10 of which were radioactive.
Okay.
They only accounted for 1% of the fuel, the uranium fuel that was on board.
Oh no.
So one fragment had a radiation level of 500 R/H. I'm not a scientist, which is sufficient to kill a person. So remaining in contact with that piece of satellite for a few hours would have killed you.
Wow.
And if you've watched Chernobyl, it's not a nice way to go.
I have not seen it.
No. Watch it. It's good.
I hear it's a fictionalized version of the truth, which is...
Is it drama? I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
It's like, no. I don't know. My favorite documentary is Jurassic Park.
Yeah, mine too.
Yeah. So the location of the radioactive core remains a mystery. We should go looking for it.
No, I'm good.
It'd be very, very easy to find. Just let's look for the gophers.
It's funny that they're like, I guess like there's no real driving need to go find it these days, is there?
Well, yeah.
It's the Arctic. Nobody lives up there. Nobody's doing
anything. Well,
they do. I mean, in communities, but not in the tundra.
They do. The Dene people,
who
are an indigenous people to that area.
Oh.
They live there.
So there are people who live there.
There are people who live there. Okay. And they have apparently dramatically increased cancer rates.
Oh, no. Oh, that sucks.
So although no one got hit in the head by the satellite as it came down, generally speaking, there's implied that there's a massive contamination in the atmosphere.
That's horrible. And nobody wants to go find where this stuff is. It's not in the atmosphere, you mean?
Well, I guess I mean the environment, sorry.
Wow.
So it'd be like in the water.
We've got to have better technology to be able to detect this stuff now.
But I feel like everyone's forgotten about it. If you go, hey, remember that time a nuclear reactor fell out of the sky and we didn't bother finding it? But we did find 12 pieces of it. And they go, no.
Less than 1% of the radioactive fuel
was
found.
Yeah.
So
and the core is missing, like the actual reactor core.
Jesus Christ.
Now, if you watch like Star Trek or something like that, they always use detonate.
Well, they're really hot.
They always go, we've run out of weapons. What are we going to do? Eject the reactor core.
Yeah.
That'll kill them. Mm. And then, it worked.
These reactor cores are extraordinarily hot. And so they would... I mean, like, it would be buried very, 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 very far beneath the ice. It's my assumption.
Well, with global warming, we can look forward to finding it again. We can rediscover that problem.
Yeah.
So the idea is, though, that Chief James Marlowe of the Lutsake Dene First Nation wasn't even 10 years old when he heard about it happening. And he's the chief when this article was written. Right now I'm concerned because of recent deaths in the community related to cancer. It seems like in the past few years almost every death in the community is cancer related.
Jeez. Maybe it's time to consider relocating. Just saying.
Oh, well, maybe they don't want to. Maybe that's where they live.
Yeah.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot maybe your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at UH1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
When Chernobyl...
Cancerville.
Like, Cancerville.
who'd want to live in Cancerville?
But it's okay. It's okay. Do you know what happened? Under the terms of the 1972 Space Liability Convention.
Interesting.
Which, so it says, a state which launches an object into space is liable for damages caused by that object.
Makes sense.
Are you listening, Elon?
You know he is. It's his favorite show.
No. You weird man. So the Canadian government billed the Soviet Union for the recovery efforts.
Wow. And did they pay them?
$6 million Canadian dollars. And that was in addition for compensation for future unpredicted expenses, which might be like mass cancer.
Right.
Or decontamination.
Right, yeah, yeah.
The USSR,
did they pay them?
They paid them $3 million. They give them half.
Yeah. At least they paid them something. I didn't expect them to pay them anything.
Well, I mean, that's something. And then shortly after the USSR fell apart anyway.
Oh, right. Yeah.
The wall came down and then it was chaos, and then Vladimir Putin turned up.
Vladimir Putin?
Vladimir Putin. That's a way better name. Vladimir Putin pants. A new kids show. I came up with a really bad idea for a TV show.
All right.
It was going to be me, and this is before everyone hated him. Me and Vladimir Putin touring the world, trying the world's best charcuterie.
I think people hated Vladimir Putin pants for like a really long time, though.
Did they?
Okay. I think so.
Okay. Well, when he was still kind of comical, and they were like, "Oh, it's like an old Bond film."
a Bond villain.
I wouldn't have actually made it.
You were gonna travel the world with him,
and it was called Chakutin with Maputin. It was a new TV show.
The whole. I love it.
I'll be honest, it was just a title and I hadn't fleshed out the rest of the idea.
That's too bad, Reese. I'd watch that show.
Would you?
Would I eat charcuterie with Putin?
Would you chakoot with your poot?
that's a different show.
Put his back out. Chakootin' his poot.
Putin, my chakoot.
Although, it's a good point. Is there any more of this shit flying around in space? Is it going to come down at some point?
I mean, there's all kinds of shit flying around in space. They just have better control over where it's going to go now. They typically just drop it in the middle of, not the middle, it's like somewhere in the Pacific Ocean, I think it normally is dropped. Like a very specific spot where there's really no land around, or it's like a satellite graveyard, essentially. That's what I understand.
Hang on, I found a study here. Come on.
Reese Googles things live on the podcast.
Ba, 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 ba. I'm Googling it. What a Vladimir Putin.
Vladimir Putin pants.
Okay, so.
No. Can you make a t-shirt?
Oh, there's so much right.
Chakutin with Putin.
Chakutin with my Putin.
I'd probably be in bad taste, but that's what we are.
Okay, this is interesting. There's lots of people saying why you shouldn't launch nuclear waste into space. Like, why shouldn't you launch nuclear? It's very expensive. Space is complicated. Rockets are not perfect. I'd argue that we already did. Because have you seen that when they bury nuclear waste underground, they have to come up with symbols that basically like, so they're like, what language will people speak in 10,000 years?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just like images of people dying horribly.
Yeah, exactly. Because they've got to go, well, the English language might not exist anymore. How are we going to kind of convey that your skin's going to fall off? Don't dig here.
Is there a happy ending to this story?
Well, no. I mean, the Soviet Union paid the Canadian government $3 million and the Denny people got fuck all apart from cancer.
Right, yeah, that kind of sucks.
It's terrible, but
yeah.
And your advice was move.
I mean, yes. It's not great advice, but it is advice. Yes. If you live in Cancerville, leave Cancerville. Like, if there are no other options, nothing, other than if I stay here, me
Well, all my family and friends are here. Yes, and you and all of your family and friends also will get cancer if you stay here. Just don't live in Cancerville.
No,
it sucks to have to move. It's not a great solution. There's all kinds of problems with it. But staying equals death is also not a great option for me. I don't, you know what I mean? Like,
I do know what you mean. Yeah. Me and my wife bought our first house. So they don't do that. I don't see this a lot in Canada, but in the UK, there's not a lot of space. I've seen it. It's an island. It's not in that Wales? Big an island.
Yeah.
In Wales and in the UK. So what they do is they call them brownfield sites. So maybe there's an old industrial site.
Okay.
They'll like smash it all to pieces, move all the bits, and then they'll build houses where the industrial site was.
Okay.
Our old house used to be a paint factory.
Oh.
And they use a lot of chemicals to make paint. So when we bought the house, they were like, hey, enjoy your new house. Whatever you do, don't grow vegetables in the soil. And that was like part of our agreement. They were like, well, if we grow vegetables and eat them.
Are you serious?
Yeah, yeah. So they were like, hey, just don't eat food that you grow in the ground. You'd be fine. I loved that house. It was a great first house.
The turnips taste, it's funny, but you know, the house is great.
Yeah. So but they don't. I think that's just a UK thing or a European thing where you need to recycle the ground. I was willing to live with that. They didn't bring the price down.
I'm trying to think of an improv heritage minute we could do, but I can't. I'm coming up blank. I can't think of it because like it's all depressing. You know, you don't want to. I don't want to do an improv heritage minute of someone like of an entire family and group of friends dying of cancer in the Arctic. That's just sad.
I don't know why you would do that.
Right? Yeah. Let's not do that at all. And then there's the whole, we could do an improv heritage minute of like the Arctic explorers who first came across the metal piece, but it's not a very exciting story.
They had to get decontaminated in Edmonton.
Right. It's just like, it's just...
Which is the one place you don't want to get decontaminated for reasons I don't know.
I don't know. I can't think of anything. Well, let's do some admin and then do a quiz. How about that?
Okay, cool.
Okay. Ha-ha! First off, maybe the Apple Podcasts subscription button might actually be working. There were some tech issues that apparently were not our fault.
What a dream.
I know, but for $5 Canadian, you can just press that button, $5 monthly, and you will get a shit ton of bonus content. Back when we were Canadian Politics is Boring, and now when we are Canada is Boring, you have access to the entire back catalog.
5 years of bonus content.
It's amazing. Yeah, it's. I think it's like four-ish going on, five, but maybe it's five, I don't know.
Five.
And on Patreon, if you want to pay just a little bit more, you get to chat with us and
be our friend.
Tell us what to do, and we'll send you photos and recycle sending dick pics for some strangers. And I don't know why. So that's a thing you can do to support the show.
It's the only form of modern communication I'm interested
in. If you can't get enough of this shit and you want some more ridiculous stuff, just please hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts. And for $5 a month, you get all kinds of crazy, good, extra bonus content. So there you go.
Also, we're doing a live show.
Oh, yeah.
Soon.
A live show on May 26th.
In Halifax.
At Two Crows Brewing. Go to CanadianPoliticsisBoring.com or
still,
Canada.
Still. I can't work out how to change it over.
So
CanadianPoliticsisBoring.com, and there's a banner at the top, and you can get tickets, and you'll have a great time. We're just going to it's going to be very low key.
This is here in Halifax, Nova Scotia. Yeah. There's only like, 50 some seats? So they're going quick if you want to get some and secure your place. Come say hi.
Very low key.
We're going to have a lot of fun. Reese is going to quiz me. He's going to quiz the audience, you guys as well. So come and say hi.
I haven't prepared for it yet, but I will.
I know.
Yes.
Believe in you.
So quiz time.
Quiz time. Can we have a little quiz time music?
Do, 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 do. That's the last episode. Do, do, do. Do, do, do. What was the name of the nuclear powered satellite?
Oh my God. I don't think you mentioned that, did you?
I did.
I don't fucking know. The
Cosmos. The 954.
Oh, like I'd remember Cosmos 954.
Okay. What was the name of the indigenous community most affected?
The Denny's.
No, that's a restaurant chain.
Dennis? The Dennis?
Denny.
Denny. The Denny.
The Denny's.
I was very close. Denny, plural. Plural for Denny. Denny's. Is that not right?
Breakfast is always breakfast time.
No, but isn't the plural for Denny Denny's?
I don't think so. No, I think it's the Denny.
The Denny.
Yeah.
Okay. I was close. I think I should get half a point for that. I didn't mean the Denny's like breakfast. place. We're like, come on, give me half a point for Denny's. It's the Denny.
Half a point.
The Denny.
Oh, God. What temperature did it drop to?
Minus 40.
There we go. Cool. I didn't even finish my question. That made the helicopters not work good no more.
Not work good no more. It's in the official report.
What temperature, man? So, yeah, that's it.
That's it.
So, I got a question for you.
All right.
Make up a thing that shouldn't be nuclear powered.
What?
Something that shouldn't have a nuclear reactor inside.
That currently does?
No, like that satellite. Solar power.
Oh.
That'd be nice, wouldn't it? Power of the sun.
I wonder why they never tried to make it like a nuclear powered vehicle.
Well, a car.
Yeah.
Well, if you have a car crash, there's like a mushroom cloud and 300,000 people die.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
All right. What about
like... It's like saying like, it's like, let's have a nuclear...
A sauna. A nuclear powered sauna.
So you can inhale the nuclear
goodness.
It'll
be real hot.
Ah, cleansing.
A toaster.
A toaster.
Yeah.
That would be pretty funny. What about a... what about some kind of adult sex toy?
No, thank you.
Nuclear powered. The bat never... No need to change the batteries.
Jesus Christ, Reese.
Fuck the Duracell bunny. And you can with this.
What would you call it?
Nuke. The Nuke.
The Nuke?
Actually, that's the name of the drug from the...
Robocop
movies.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Remember when he's being like having memories? It's so hard for him to act in that suit.
In that suit. The period.
Just in the suit he was wearing.
Oh,
the,
I know.
Yeah. It was the least threatening robot ever because he was so slow when he was walking. Anyway, I love that. I love
RoboCop 2 is my favorite.
The opening to RoboCop 2 is one of the best movie openings ever.
I forget the opening.
It's just like, it just shows a series of characters interacting with each other on like, in like street crime. So it starts off with like,
oh yeah,
robbing a thing, and then like some prostitutes kill them with their spiked heels and steal their money. And then like, it's just like goes on and goes on and goes on. It's just like such a weird way to introduce a film back when like blockbuster movies were trying to be creative,
right? I mean, think of it like the I always think that the absurdity of the success of a movie called RoboCop, you know, that like warranted multiple sequels and television shows and video games. Like,
I mean, the sequels,
it's a cop that's a robot.
See the sequel where he flies?
Yeah, that was awful.
Even though he was very heavy.
Yeah, it was awful. It was RoboCop 3. And then there's the television show. There was a television show.
I remember.
That was PG-13, where he didn't shoot or kill a single person. He was just a mall cop, essentially.
Don't do drugs.
Yes, exactly, yeah.
Do you remember my favorite TV show as a kid was The A-Team? And because it was, they always had guns.
I never watched
it. But all they ever did was blow up plant pots. Like someone would be behind a plant pot and the plant pot would blow up and they'd be like, oh, the soil's in my eyes. But they always had to show that nobody died. So they'd like fire a rocket launcher at a helicopter. The helicopter would crash. And then they had to have a shot of people climbing out. Kind of just like, oh, I really banged my arm. That kind of thing. I love those kind of movies, those kind of TV shows.
Reminded me of The Road to El Dorado, the animated movie.
Never seen it.
No? It's fantastic. It's just great. And there's like, at the end, there's a voodoo priest kind of does magic on this gigantic stone puma. Hundreds of feet in the air, this massive puma, right? And this it's wrecking havoc in the village, and one of the villagers gets knocked over or something like that, right? And he stands up, he's like, I'm okay. And then suddenly this giant rock stone puma hand just smushes him, right? But apparently it was like, my guess is just, this is a kid's movie, right? So like as soon as the thing like smushes, right? He's jam. He's human jam, right? You can hear a voice that was clearly recorded afterwards from underneath the stone going, I'm still okay, right?
Turns out you can't crush someone to death with an animated statue.
Right, yeah.
Cool. What were we talking about again?
Nuclear waste in the Arctic.
Did you say nuclear? Nuclear.
Nuclear.
Yeah, you sound like Homer Simpson.
It's nuclear?
Nuclear.
Nuclear?
Now you got me confused.
Nuclear.
Nuclear. Not nuclear. Not nuclear. Yeah, I get that confused. Yeah. A lot of people
there
do.
There we go. Anyway, yeah. Buy Jesse's radioactive sex toy.
It's not mine.
Bye.
Bye, everybody. A place that's excitement, kryptonite. You may fall asleep with no warning, because Canada is boring, boring. Because Canada is boring, boring. Canada is boring, so boring. Canada is so fucking boring, boring, boring. A real cool podcast with Reese and Jesse.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, dear listener, do you enjoy listening to us ramble incoherently about Canadian politics and history? Boy, do we have a special fucking treat for you. We've got our first ever official live show at a bar.
It's at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street in Halifax on Sunday, May the 26th at 8 p.m. And if you go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, if you look at the banner at the top, it will take you to the tickets so that you can book a ticket and come and spend some quality time. It is going to be a very intimate affair. There are like only about 50 tickets available.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to drink a lot. We're going to quiz. Reese is going to quiz me at the end, but he's also going to quiz the audience and see if they know more than I do. And any alcohol you buy, Reese and I, we promise to drink it, no matter how much it is. If you want to hold our hair while we barf in the plants outside of the bar, we'll do that for you.
So go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, click the banner at the top, and on Sunday, May the 26th, at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street, we will see you there.